Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. We got our good buddy Tony Paradiso back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Tony is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a good friend of ours. Tony has been in the management consulting world for a long time and helping companies like yours and mine put our best foot forward in the marketplace. He has had a lot of corporate experience, as I did, where he and I both cut our teeth into a large degree on a lot of the things that we've learned on by being working with and being trained by the big companies, and then we escaped. And he's the author of The Management Mind Field, and he's our good friend. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Brainwashed. Which one was it?
Well, we were brainwashed for a while, weren't we?
Absolutely.
No, I mean, we believed it.
Yeah.
And it was good. I mean, I'll tell you, I was a corporate employee for 23 years. I wouldn't take anything. I got world-class training in those days, Tony.
Well, that was true. As long as you could put your ethics aside and you didn't care about how you were impacting kind of the macro environment, corporate life is great.
But you know, I didn't feel that way back. I'm probably a lot older than you, Tony. I mean, I go back to the late 60s, 70s, 80s.
Okay. And yep, a little older than me.
I didn't feel that way in those days. I still look back and I feel like that we delivered a good product and a good service. And you know, I don't know what the CEOs were doing, but I look back on my corporate days and I enjoyed them. I thought we did good work, but I do think that corporate America is having some challenges right now, and I think I know the answer.
Well, you know,
I know the answer to their problem, Tony. Yeah. They've got to quit doing the 90-day. They've got to quit managing their business on a 90-day cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
if they could do that one mechanical thing, Tony, and start thinking long-term planning instead of what am I going to give the analysts at the quarterly call? I think we could restore capitalism the way it ought to be.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If there was one thing that if you could wish one thing for corporate America, it would be to ignore Wall Street, ignore the 90-day cycle, and just do what's right.
I think if Shakespeare came back today, he would say, okay, first thing we do, we still kill the lawyers, but the second thing we do, we kill the analysts. That's what I think.
Who don't know anything, by the way.
No, we found that out. We found that to be true, don't we? Didn't we? So, well, as you look in your crystal ball there, Tony, talk to us about what you see coming up for us in 2010.
Well, actually, I'm in the process of completing my column for the week. And I think 2010 is going to be better than 2009, but that isn't saying much.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, most aptly described as a treading water year.
Tepid is the word I've been using.
Yeah. The employment, we're waiting for the employment number. It's going to hit at 8:30. The anticipation is going to be flat or slightly positive. But you can see it in the employment numbers over the last 6 months. The situation is certainly improving. It's still not good for the average American. There are a lot of potential shoes that could drop that could drive us into a double dip. But all in all, I think we'll see some very lackluster growth with an improving employment picture as the year goes on.
Well, and I'll tell you something that I think a lot of people need to be prepared for. I'm not a stock market expert. I'm not a Wall Street expert. But my instincts tell me that Wall Street's not going to have a great year in 2009. I mean, in 2010. What do you think?
Only
because they had such a great year in 2009, which made no sense because it was all based on earnings. That was based on cost cutting, not on revenue, and not on real business earnings. And I don't think they can repeat that in this next year. But the point I'm making is we need to be careful that we don't try to call Wall Street the Main Street economy. Wall Street's not the economy.
No, Wall Street's basically the problem, if you really want to know. I mean, we talked about the 90-day cycle. Where does that come from? It really comes from pressure from Wall Street to drive stock prices.
That's right.
Wall Street does a lot of things that the American people should pay more attention to.
Exactly.
If we were going to fix one thing in the economy, it would be Wall Street's manipulation of the economy.
I've been saying for several years now that Wall Street is definitely at cross purposes with Main Street.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Their agenda is completely counter to what's good for the general population.
It's counter to quality, to a quality economy. It's counter to quality relationships with people, as far as I'm concerned. Stand by 22, right back after these messages. That's the reason I like Main Street, Tony. That's the reason you like Main Street. We're going to be right back. Tony Paradiso is our guest and our good friend. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll use it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Check all the things out we do there. And check out my blog, too. I think you'll like that. And however much time you have, 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, we got something that you can read or listen to there and ask questions, get answers. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame there if you want to follow me. And my Twitter promise is no clutter. I won't be telling you when I wake up, when I go to sleep, what I have for lunch. I promise you, none of that. Tony Paradiso is with us, folks. He's the author of The Management Mind Field. He's one of our top management experts in the Brain Trust. Tony, we were talking earlier about Wall Street what I do believe is cross purposes between Wall Street and Main Street. But small business owners have got to focus on, we can't focus on the Wall Street economy or really even the national economy. We got to focus on our own economy, don't we?
Right, very local.
Local meaning
miles.
How about within inside my four walls? How about inside my head? You know, that's what we got to focus on, right?
Absolutely.
So how do we do a better job of that?
Well, one of the things that I own a country store, and it's interesting. Always looking at
what do you take for that store, by the way, right now? If I write you a check, what do you take for it?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm making a joke. I've owned some businesses like that myself, and you know, at some point in time, you say, how much will you charge me to give it to you?
Oh, right, right. I'll pay you to take it off my hands. Right, absolutely. It's been an interesting experience. You know, we talked about being in corporate life, and I'd never owned anything like this, and I'm glad I did. But at some point in time, I'll be glad that I don't.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. It's a microcosm, and it's kind of interesting to watch the dynamics of it, and the customer interaction is great. So you're always looking at, you talk about cost cutting and driving revenue in a bad economy. My customer base is mostly kind of tradesmen, and so, my businesses obviously suffer because there's less construction guys
right
out there, there's fewer landscapers, and so that's impacting me. But last time we talked, I think I was in the middle of doing this, stealing the idea from the Subway, and doing this $5 sub,
uh-huh,
right, which is kind of counterintuitive. You're lowering your price, how are you going to drive your revenue? But it's kind of like taxes, you lower your taxes, you increase the economy. Well, my food business was up 10% last year in a down economy.
Mm.
Basically because I was providing better value. Now,
mm-hmm,
did I have to work on the expense side to cover the margin hit? Yes, absolutely. So I was able to cover the margin hit, give a better value to my customers, and actually capture greater market share and drive revenue. Now, I'm taking it to the next level.
Let me stop you for a second there, Tony. Here's why I want to stop you. You learned some things in 2009. That you wouldn't have learned had 2008 not happened.
That's correct.
That will help you be a better manager in 2010, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the thing. That's what I want people to pay attention to. What you just said, I want them to realize, look back, don't waste this crisis, ladies and gentlemen. Look back on the things that you did to respond to the circumstances that you were forced to deal with. Look back at how you dealt with those. I mean, a lot of times, Tony, we react to these things. We react very successfully, very effectively, but we don't realize that what we did was pretty remarkable, and it should be noted, it should be remembered, and put into a plan. What do you think?
You know, that's a great point because, you know, going back to corporate life, one of the things that happens, one of the dynamics in an organization is you start ignoring it. When times are good, you ignore waste and expense.
Right.
Because you don't care. You're
and you
lots
also
of money. So I'm paying a little bit too much for that. Yeah, I'm wasting money over there. What's the difference? We're making a lot of money.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you come on a hard patch, and now you're scrambling. You know, my advice is you should run your business as if you're in crisis mode all the time.
Exactly. I mean, it's like when you watch a football game, and this team has been, you know, allowed themselves to get beat up the whole game, and then they come to life in the last 2 minutes and win the game. Why didn't they play that way the whole game?
Right. I mean, if you're watching your expenses and you're running a real tight ship, when that rough patch comes, you're not going to be scrambling. You're already going to be in position to weather the storm.
And see, Tony, this is why I've been saying that if you survived and you can still open your doors 2010 with the attrition of a lot of small businesses out there,
right,
unfortunately,
right,
and not that many startups coming along because of the financial situation,
right,
the credit situation, the companies that survived and have learned how to be better managers, better operators, they're going to have some significant success in the year or two or three ahead. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, one of my other businesses is a construction company, and obviously everyone knows, you know, construction is down because of what's happening in the real estate business. And that's what I tell everyone. I said, look, I view this as a positive. We're going to survive, and there's going to be fewer, you know, the marginal players, the guys that cut corners and the guys that have been trying to, you know, scam the system, they're all going to go away. And it's going to be a cleaner environment, and it's going to be more opportunity for the survivors. Absolutely. So, I mean, this kind of cleansing process, as painful as it is, I mean, it's just part of the cyclicality of an economy, and those that manage their business in good and bad times the best, they're the ones that are going to prosper out of this.
Well, absolutely, no question about it. Tony, give us the website, please.
Actually, I don't even have a website, but I'm going to tell you what I give you, because I write a weekly column, and if people want to stay abreast of what's in very simple terms, I try to write a column on economics. They can go up to the www.nashuatelegraph.com.
NashuaTelegraph.com. All right, so folks, check that out. The book Management Minefield is available wherever books are sold. Tin Till, right back after these messages. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. A little Atlanta Rhythm section bringing us back. Tony Paradiso is our guest, our good friend, the author of the Management Mind Field. And Tony, I know that's still you can still get that on at Amazon. And
yep, you can still get it on Amazon.
And like if it's like some of my books, also on eBay. And
and
if you really want to save some money, find one that I've autographed. That drops the price 50 cents easy. Hey, one of the things that I've been talking to people about a lot in the last couple of years, Tony, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it, is I've been trying to explain to them about the 21st century. And you know, we entered a new era after 1999. And we've had, and now I think we're entering in the new decade. We're entering a new, brand new era, and what that tells me is that things are changing significantly, a lot more rapidly than they used to, and so what does that mean? What kind of a macro view could I have about that with my business? And to me, here it is: it's okay to fall in love with what you do, but you can't fall in love with how you do it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think the pace of change is constantly accelerating. I mean, the revolution of communication technologies is just the amount of information that we have available to us, and so things just happen much more rapidly today than they did did in the past. Right. Right. And people get into this comfort zone, and they kind of, this is the way we've always done it, and this is the way we're going to do it.
Right.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Comfort.
At some point in time, what you're doing ain't going to work.
Comfort in the marketplace is a luxury that most of us can't afford these days.
Right. Right. You want to always be looking for better ways, better processes in your business. It's organic. Business is organic, and you have to treat them as such, and you have to constantly evolve, because exactly, the world's evolving around you, the demographics are evolving, tastes are evolving, and you need to keep abreast of it.
Mm-hmm.
I, for example, just simple things. You know, a country store, a new capability like Twitter. You know, I laughed at Twitter when I started hearing, what the hell, you know, is this Twitter stuff? But I could use Twitter with my country store to basically blast out the daily special.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So my customer base, instead, you know, they wouldn't have to call up or pass by and look at the sign. They could simply go up online and say, well, you know, what are the specials at the store?
Well, they don't even have to go.
They
don't even have to go online. All they got to do is ask Twitter to send them in the information.
Well, that's right. I forgot. I'm not a BlackBerry person.
It'll go right to their phone. It'll go right to their phone. All they got to do is.
Right.
You know, people are doing that.
Yeah, I forgot. You're right. You don't need a computer anymore. See,
yeah.
I've had it with technology. After spending 20 years in high tech, I don't want any more gadgets. But you know, my partner, he just got. Oh, he's got the latest BlackBerry. Oh, I can get email and this.
Oh
stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So even something, you know, something as mundane as a country store can leverage, you know, the latest in communication technology to effectively as a marketing tool. And you need to be thinking along those lines.
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, there's a little farmer's market that we like to do business with, and every Thursday they send me an email and tell me what's fresh. And it reminds me it does two things. It reminds me that I want some fresh food for the weekend, you know, some fresh vegetables or whatever. But it also reminds me that they're still there and I need to drop by.
Right.
And it's and it costs them nothing to do that.
It costs them nothing. Yeah.
Basic little time. But you got to start by, and so many small businesses. I went into a small business the other day, Tony. And it's been there a long time, and I asked them about their website because I was trying to find some stuff on their website about what they sold, and they don't. They said, "Well, we don't have one." Now, Tony, I can't even comprehend a business, and anybody, you got to have a website because local search is a big deal. And,
right.
And so you got to focus on that. Tony, 30 seconds, last thoughts.
Well. Write your congressman and tell him to begin to seriously crack down on Wall Street and term limits for everybody.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that, huh? We tried that, didn't we? And it didn't work, right?
Well, I don't know if we tried it in Congress.
The politicians are really, really good at is getting reelected.
Well, here's
they're really
strategy.
Bad at
if
everything
they won't
else.
Enact term limits on themselves, then let's do it. Vote out the incumbents regardless of their party.
Well said. Hey, Tony, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Take care.
We'll see you next time. Tony Paradiso, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.